Scattered Cells, episode number 10. I'm your host, Michael Huang, and these are my co-hosts. Please introduce yourselves.
This is Raymond Hugh coming from Taipei, Taiwan, as usual.
This is Jeremy from Los Angeles, as usual.
And I like the way you say Los Angeles. It just sounds much better.
Yeah, there's not too many ways you can say Los Angeles and make it sound good.
We used to say Los Angeles.
There's a song actually by a band called the Decemberists called Los Angeles, I'm Yours, and it's a really bitterly anti-LA song. Like, it's about how awful LA is and how, like, I wish I was never there and I don't understand why anybody wants to live there. And yeah, that's the way he always pronounces it. He sings like, Los Angeles, I'm yours. And then...
right.
So that's another pronunciation.
Yeah, Los Angeles has its good points. I just don't know what they are. No, seriously. It does have its good points, but it also does have its bad. Mm-hmm. But...
It's a lot like a lot of other big cities, though it's got some unique issues of its own, to be sure. It's not
indeed,
like
indeed.
It's all spread out, unlike New York, and the traffic here is the universal bane. I don't think anybody likes the traffic. So,
right.
Yeah.
It can be worse than Washington D.C. area.
It's worse. Yes, it is definitely worse.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and D.C., was like, I think they did a national survey once. D.C. had the fourth worst traffic in the nation. L.A. was number one. The Bay Area was number two.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. I forgot.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, this is an anime podcast, not a complain about whatever your locale of choice is podcast. So why don't we go and get started on the news item. All right, Ray, why don't you go and start us off today? This is something about a subject I think you are probably more interested in than, unfortunately, probably myself. And so why don't you talk about the Seiyu Oscars?
Yes, all right. Well, according to Anime News Network, the results of Japan's first ever Seiyu Awards announced. And let's see, it's the first ever award ceremony for Seiyu, you know, like, I guess this has to be an anime influence or whatever. And in anime and other media, fine. It was held at March 3rd at the 3D Theater of Tokyo Anime Center Akihabara. Yes, that's a great place. Considerable fanfare, special red carpet. Okay. They had a special achievement award and a synergy award awarded to the movie series that voters feel a strong use of voice talent. Anyway, the list of winner, here we go. Best actor in a leading role is Jun Fukuyama as in Lelouch, called It's Gies, not Gay Ass.
Is that the official pronunciation?
Gies.
They actually pronounced it in the show, right?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, good.
It's the Gias is the thing that they, you know, what he uses. Lelouch of the Rebellion. Best actress in a leading role is Romi Paku as in Nana, Osaki Nana. I actually don't watch that show, so I don't know. Best actors in supporting roles is Akira Ishida, as Athron Zara in Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Destiny. I agree with that. And Koki Miyata as Kazumi Yoshinaga-sanchi no Gargoyle. I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. Best actresses in supporting roles, we have Ami Koshimizu as in Canon Statterfield, called Gies, Lelouch of Rebellion, and Yuko Goto as in Mikuru Asahina, the Melancholy of Harumi Suzumiya. I like that one. And best rookie actors, Tetsuya Kakihara as Mikoto Yukata, Princess, and Masakazu Morita as Ichigo Kurosaki, Bleach.
Oh, he's the lead role, I think. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
Ichigo, yeah.
He's
a rookie?
I think it's within the past 5 years.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why I would well, Aya Hirano coming up is also a rookie actress. Best rookie actresses, I know. Best
Momoko, yes!
Yui Kano as Momoko Kusuru. Okay. Aya Hirano as Harumi Suzumiya. Best musical performance, Nana Mizuki, Justice to Believe. Best personality, Masami Asano, ANG Super Radio Show, Anispa. Special Achievement Award, Kei Tomiyama, and Special Achievement Awards, Toru Ohira, Ohira Production, Masako Ikeda, Tokyo Actors Consumers Cooperative Society, Haikyo. Noriko Ohara Production, Baobab. Mariko,
I have no idea what that is.
A81 Produce. Synergy Award, Pokemon. Many thanks to
Wow, that was quite a list. Good job, Ray. Good job.
Thanks.
And
man,
you did, and amazingly did it all in one breath. Well, not really, but close enough.
What's a mouthful?
Mm-hmm.
And considering my English has been eating up by my local locality. Some sort of brain retardation, no doubt. Anyway.
You're not even reading English. These aren't even English names. I mean, these are Japanese names, which is a language that's foreign to all of us. So, still, what do you think of some of the choices here? I mean, some of the choices I think are, some of them aren't particularly surprising. Like, I see a bunch of the two lead, like, female roles in Haruhi Suzumiya got awards, like Mikuru and Haruhi herself. Though actually I didn't know Aya Hirano is considered a rookie, a beginner. I thought she was
I read about it. It's like something within past 5 years.
Okay.
Cause that's about the time she made her debut. She was like 14.
Oh wow, that's really young.
I think that's something to do with it.
Hmm.
As far as like I guess you know why gay gee ass is like the guy actually got it because he's like a cult favorite.
Yeah. It's like the most popular, at least in the English-speaking anime blog universe, it's probably the most popular show right now. It's
not just English, because it's super popular in Japan, too.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. So no doubt they'll pick him.
Mm, okay, so... interesting that there is also at least one person from Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Destiny. But
I consider him a better choice.
Really?
Like, yeah, a supporting role, sure. He's not in the leading role, but I consider him a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's very versatile. Hmm. As little as I follow male seiyus, he's very versatile and he can do a lot of things.
Interesting.
And he's hired in many places, too. That shows how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And let's see, and the goddess of Moe herself is selected, and that's good news.
Yep, there we are. Aya Hirano, yep, she's certainly a huge fan favorite. And who else is here? Actually, there's really, who is actually Nana Mizuki's Justice to Believe? Do you know what show that song goes to by any chance?
Damn if I know.
I
have no
idea.
That's
a question.
It's not Nana, is it? I don't think so.
No.
I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen a few episodes of Nana, and actually, one of the Nanas apparently got Best Actress, but one of the Nanas.
It's Osaki. It's Osaki Nana. That's the singer.
Right.
Well,
that's the
name.
That's just the name of the character. That's the name. Yeah. Right. And I haven't heard of Yoshinaga Sanchi no Gargoyle, but that's the only other one I haven't heard of. I've heard of all the other ones, so. Like Sumomo Momo. Yeah.
I've seen the show title a few times, the Yoshinaga something thing, but other than that, I didn't bother with it.
Mm, okay.
I know Asano Masumi, she's done quite a few roles too.
Mm-hmm.
She's fairly popular herself, and as far as everyone else, Pokemon. Oh my god. Yeah, and I know Koshimitsu Ami, she's done quite a few roles too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite popular. She's all right. Yeah.
I wonder who actually voted on these. Did they have like an academy, kind of like the way we have our Oscars? There's like a select group of people who are the ones who vote.
I think they have anime directors and actor, maybe actor voices, a voice actor guild or something.
I mean, there's like a Tokyo Anime Center. That's apparently where it got held. So,
I've never seen it. I've never seen it. I went to Akihabara 5 times. I've never seen it.
It's sort of like the anime version of the Kodak Theater or something here in LA, you know, where they have the... So that's where they have the Oscars, the Kodak Theater. And yeah, and they even have a red carpet. I can't believe it. I mean, I guess...
They just made it up. I'm sure they just made it up. Okay, I'm clicking the link now. They must have made it up.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Seiya Awards. I can't read it because it's in Japanese, but, you know, it's...
Sure.
There's English. It says English.
Oh, really? There's an English?
Down at the bottom, yeah.
Oh, interesting. All right. So the Synergy Award is awarded to the movie or series that voters feel makes a strong use of voice talent. I guess that means it's awarded to a show where they felt that the cast as a whole was strong, I guess. That's what it sounds like. And they gave it a Pokemon, is it?
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Maybe I know what it is. Tokyo Anime Center is some sort of... It's probably some sort of 3D theater.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, because... Okay, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go to a website, they have someone speaking really, really awful English. Mm-hmm. And for 1 second, I thought it was a fan site, not for real.
Oh, okay. And apparently, my guess is this Masumi Asano ANG Super Radio Show, Anispa... That must be some sort of otaku radio show that it is. Yeah.
They regularly have some voiceovers like on shows and start talking.
Mm-hmm. No, I just remember that mainly because I remember there was a part in Mega Tokyo, the webcomic, where they had a part of the plot somewhere a couple chapters back where, you know, one of the main characters is an aspiring voice actress and she goes on a otaku radio show. That, you know, is supposed to interview voice actors and actresses. And and that apparently is what gets her all this enormous amount of exposure. And my guess is that it's like radio shows like that they were modeling after that. So
they have that. I mean, they have a whole otaku industry.
That's true.
Aimed at people like us.
Yeah. I mean, we are, for better or for worse, the otaku culture is pretty much at this moment Japan's public face to the world. Like, that's the most visible face of Japan pretty much all over the whole world right now. It is the whole anime and manga industry. And
the fun part is they're freaking embarrassed about it.
Well, the government is starting to come around. They're starting to throw subsidies the industry's way and even trying to encourage like more and more exports because everything else. Because everything else in the Japanese economy is going south, so...
whatever sells.
Yep, right. Whatever sells.
Moving from cars to animated DVDs.
All right, anyway, I think that pretty much does it for the first annual Seiyu Oscars held in Tokyo, Japan this year.
Yes.
All right. Moving on to the next news item. Jeremy, why don't you talk about something related to a show that you were pushing long before it even became popular here, Death Note.
Death Note. For those, I think most people who probably would, if they take the time to listen to our podcast, they probably have some idea what Death Note's about, but nonetheless, it's a story about bored death gods who drop the Death Note into the human world, which is a notebook where if a human writes, or if anybody writes a name in it, that person dies in the human world. It is picked up by a character named Light Yamigami, and he ends up in a game of cat and mouse with a unseen... previously unknown detective named L. So now apparently there is a company marketing in Japan a notebook, a Death Note notebook, not a spiral bound notebook, not a pen and paper notebook, but a laptop with the Death Note insignia on it. It looks like a pretty attractive looking machine, and just aesthetically, but it doesn't look like anything terribly powerful that you'd tend to want to like relate with the actual Death Note, in my opinion.
Darn.
And it is marketing for approximately $1,700 US.
Which is very expensive for a laptop computer, actually. That's very expensive.
But it actually looks like they're even sold out. So apparently it's pretty popular.
Huh.
And it looks like maybe that there's some sort of... I can't read enough Japanese to figure it out, but it looks like there is some sort of flash drive or a lock on it that has the infamous apple that Death Notes are the Death Note the Death Gods are enamored with, that they love to eat, especially Ryuk.
Yeah, there's like this little kind of running joke in the show where the Death God loves eating apples. He's addicted to them. And so and at one point, you know, he can't eat apples without being discovered. And he starts going crazy when he can't eat apples.
So. Yeah, it's interesting, actually, though, that I think they played that up a bit more in the series as opposed to the manga.
Oh, really?
In the series, they actually make it to where he's it's kind of like cigarettes for him. You know, he's just having to quit cold turkey. But in the manga, I don't think it's all that as serious.
Oh, okay.
But yep. There are some other products, have been some other products out there. I remember when I first got into Death Note, it was actually, it may have, of course, been easier in Japan, but I was having trouble finding a whole lot of products when I first got into it. It was about the time, sometime before Anime Expo of last year, I went around to see if I could find some Death Note products. There weren't that many. But now, come to find out, they have Death Note pillows that you can buy. With one of which has a bare-chested, sexy, light yummy-gummy. So that's that's always good. I'm thinking about getting that one. I just something about that makes me think it'll make me sleep very lightly.
Help you wake you up in the morning if you just have to get up early.
Yeah.
I just want to get some statistics. How many Death Note spiral-bound notebooks have they sold in Japan?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That would be so funny.
Because, I mean, that's obvious first... marketable item. I mean, and you know, even there were, you know, some here at AX last year. They were, you know, amazingly expensive. You know, for a notebook with a simple stamp on the front that says Death Note. I mean, nothing terribly complicated.
I wonder how long it's going to be until you start having copycat crimes in which somebody literally starts writing names of people they're going to kill inside one of these Death Note branded like notebooks, and then people start actually dying. I mean, because I remember all the way back in the 1970s when Stanley Kubrick's version of Clockwork Orange came out. You know, that supposedly inspired a whole wave of gang youth crime in England in the early 1970s, and that movie got banned in England for a really long time because there were so many kids who were like copying it. And
it's kind of hard to really adequately copy Death Note crime. So
unless you're Shinigami, are the Shinigami.
Yeah, unless you are.
Yeah.
You know, to write down the names in advance too kind of puts you at a slight disadvantage.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
Somebody happens to come across that piece of evidence.
And 99.9% of criminals are not as smart as Light Yagami. So.
Oh goodness no.
That's one of the best things about the whole show, is because like the two main characters, L and Light, are incredibly intelligent. Like,
yeah.
They're always one step ahead of each other, and. Most of the time.
Well, I've always thought maybe you know, they'll do something like Ghost in the Shell type of crime. Like the standalone complex. But I guess in this case it wouldn't be a standalone complex.
Well, like, they don't know about the Death Note yet. And so as long as they don't know about the supernatural cause of it, they have to try to find a natural explanation. And they're completely confused about what's going on. They'll let L is like the main detective who is in charge. He's making all these intuitive leaps that, you know,
about where the person is,
who it's got, like, this, it has to be a person within this particular radius, and it can only be a certain number of these people in this time period in this area. And he makes all these really brilliant deductions. It's really awesome, actually.
It's extremely well written.
It's
better than Sherlock Holmes.
It's a lot like Sherlock Holmes. It's comparable in some ways.
Very comparable.
Yeah.
Except with access to much more advanced technology.
Yeah.
And he's... I don't want to give too much away, because at the beginning of the story, you really don't know much about L.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's well worth watching. It's really actually a very engaging show. Like, it's very gripping. There's a lot of cliffhangers, and the writing is really smart. It's like it's one of the most smartly plotted animes I've seen in a while. It's comparable to Ghost in the Shell, the television show, or something like that.
Perhaps I should get the manga then. They have the manga.
I would start with the manga. I think the manga is it's good to start with the manga, and then go into the series, because there's a few things that I think are done a little bit better in the manga, but the series actually stays decently true to it and gives a good dramatic view of the story. The animation quality is really high. It's, you know, cinematography. It's done really well. I mean, but there are a few things I think in the manga that are a little bit better, just based on the two different types of media.
Now, how many chapters or volumes are there again? I have something like 50. Is that all of it? 50.
It depends. I mean, I read the scanlations a little while ago. I started with the... I actually started a little late. I mean, there had been people that had been reading that for some time, and I actually had been seeing pictures around and hints up here and there. I was always curious about what it was, but I had never gotten around to picking it up till actually the first issue came out here. And I started reading it until extreme spoiler was dropped for me. And so then I started reading the scanlations just because I had to know what the heck are they going to do after this. there's a few points in that in the story where it's very much like that.
I think it's out to volume 17, I believe. 15 or 17, and it's already finished. This much I know.
The versions there, I mean, if it's up that high, I mean, that'll keep you busy for a while. So
yeah.
If you actually wanted to collect the series, which I would recommend, I think it's worth collecting, having on the shelf.
Okay. All right, cool. Moving on to our final news item for today. It's a little bit of a fun or a miscellaneous category, is that we all know that in Japan, the anime and manga culture has invaded virtually every last part of daily life, and now appears the final frontier has been reached. Apparently, there is going to be a roll of toilet paper, apparently, drawn by four coma manga artist Yakumi Tsuru, real name Hata Keiyama Hideki. He is going to be producing his own roll of manga toilet paper, and it's going to be called Food Toy Pay being short for toilet paper. You can purchase it apparently in cases of 50 rolls. Man, that many? It's like you can only sell those at like, you know, those gigantic warehouse stores or something like that here in America. And yeah, they have to be purchased in cases of 50 rolls from the website for 8,500 yen. 80 US dollars for toilet paper.
For how many rolls again?
50 rolls.
50 rolls.
Yeah. So it's about $1.30 or about $1.50 a roll, roughly. Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's about right.
Considering the printing cost, I can imagine, and just the the price difference between here and Japan.
Mm-hmm. And
you will have to have a very big ass to use that in one day anyway. So that's actually pretty fair, don't you think?
The thing I want to know, I mean, how soft can it really be with, you know?
I have no idea. It's going to be available as of March 2nd. And Yakumi Tsuru, who is also the self-proclaimed, quote-unquote, biggest toilet paper collector in Japan, unquote.
Used or unused?
Said in a statement that, quote, toilet paper is often confined to hidden places in the home. I made food to focus on the manga on the toilet paper when I thought about the paper sitting on the table instead of just in the bathroom.
Not really following the logic, but hey, you know, more power to him.
So, Japan, the land of Hello Kitty vibrators and various other paraphernalia, now you can add manga toilet paper to the list.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Manga TP.
I mean,
my manga TP for my bunghole.
Well, I just love the picture of its creator with holding the toilet paper and doing the kind of, you know, fist up like, go get it. You know, it just like.
Yeah, the art style actually is very similar. I don't know if you've ever seen. There was a Studio Ghibli movie that was released a few years ago called My Neighbors the Yamadas. It was, what's his face? The guy who directed Grave of the Fireflies. It's his most recent movie, actually. And it's done in that kind of art style. It's kind of this kind of very cartoony, very newspaper comic strip-ish kind of art style. If you look at the art that's actually on this toilet paper.
I just wonder, you know, if this guy ever gets famous and his fans are approaching him, you know, like what kind of stories they're going to tell. You know, ever since I was a kid, I used to wipe my ass with your manga.
I guess he's the kind of guy who doesn't mind all the double entendres and jokes that you could easily come with the fact of putting your art on toilet paper.
Right.
It kind of inoculates him from all the jokes that normally would come with talking about people's artwork being made into toilet paper. I mean, so.
He doesn't mind made of ass of himself.
And I'm just wondering, will this increase the amount of time that the younger generation spends in the restroom?
Yeah. I mean, he looks like a cool guy. Did you see the picture of him? I mean.
No.
There's
a picture of this guy?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't look like an extreme otaku.
No.
You know, not necessarily.
He's got dyed hair, apparently. He's got, like, pretty fashionable-looking glasses. And it's like a glamour shot of him, almost. He's got his finger on his chin and everything like that. And
one of those art punks, maybe?
Yeah, he looks like one of those hipster, you know, artiste types, you know. He's even wearing a hat that kind of looks like a beret.
Is it a raspberry beret?
It's purple. It is purple. It's not quite raspberry, but it is purple. I mean,
so maybe like a blueberry beret. And
his mug is on the toilet paper. Like,
so who's his lover?
And I mean, there's a big picture of him on the toilet paper packaging. Like, there's a picture.
You know, I'll bet he'll be he's very, very popular with the gay community in Japan.
I wonder. I have no idea. But who knows?
Oh my goodness.
Who knows?
Oh my goodness. That's just crazy, man. What was I thinking? I guess you cannot put like a Michelangelo or that type of stuff on toilet paper.
No.
You can't put that type of, that much of an art.
No, I mean, the kind of art that you see here is definitely kind of, it's very cartoony.
You'd be taking too long to read the thing.
It's four coma. You know, it's the four panel, four horizontal, four vertical.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you have constipations, like, it really helps. Because you're going to be in there for a while. Mm-hmm. Can't read the whole freaking strip on the, you know, can read the whole freaking value on this.
You know, it looks like, too, it looks like on the, I could be wrong, but it looks like on the toilet paper, too, it looks like there's, like, little tips. For you, for everyday life things. I could be wrong. I mean, my Japanese is sketchy at best, but...
Yeah, I have no idea.
I could look at it for 1 second. Maybe, how to wipe your butt?
I mean, the packaging has, like, a really happy-looking guy, and it has, like, pictures of food all over it, too.
Ew.
I have no idea what that's supposed to suggest, but food all over it.
Well, you know, what goes in, what goes out, right?
I gotta show you, there is this really funny, it's not even really supposed to be funny, but it's unintentionally funny. It's a potty training video, a Japanese potty training video for little kids. And it's animated, like, it's an anime potty training video for little kids.
Oh, there's an English version of toilet paper.
Yeah.
It's like some sort of, it's like, you know, English style character, I mean...
This is great too, because apparently there are some games on the toilet paper you can play.
Flush.
Like a find the word in English, no less.
Yeah. And
wow.
So yeah, there's the English.
How do you write on it without like poking through the paper though? It's just stuck.
Yeah.
It says yeah. There's the English English teaching version says flush. Well, doesn't the toilet is the water leaking? Diarrhea is feeling.
I mean, I thought.
It.
I guess this is for all the places in Japan that don't have the high tech toilets that don't require toilet paper anymore.
It is a diarrhea feeling.
It's one of those. That's another one of those Japan only things where you have the high tech toilets.
Oh,
but yeah, high tech. Did you ever actually encounter any of those when you were in Japan, Ray? Actually, any of those really
high tech?
Yeah.
No, it's more like it's just one of those bidet thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you you can install this in your house and use in states now, and you have like few buttons you can press.
Right.
And for women, you wash it with the women area, and for guys, it's the ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, supposedly, you know, that's environmentally friendly and all that because you don't need to use paper.
I've never seen it.
But anyway, what do you say that we've probably talked long enough about toilet issues?
Yeah, there's only so much material we can squeeze out of this.
This podcast is so going down the drain. This podcast is so going down the drain.
Yeah, it's totally gone to the crapper.
Yep. Anyway, guys. All right. That's pretty much does it for all the news items for today. And I just want to wrap up a little bit today by talking a little bit about Soko no Strain. If you all listened to last week's episode, I gave kind of a first impressions beginning kind of preview of the show. And as of last night, I have actually seen the entire series, all 13 episodes. And so I just want to say a few words about it. Soko no Strain, as I mentioned last week, is very much a classic space opera military mecha anime in the tradition of Gundam and any of those other giant robot type shows. The show is basically about a teenage girl named Sarah Werrick, who is a mecha pilot on one particular side of a civil war between two different human sides. And she grew up idolizing her big brother Ralph, and who's also a mecha pilot. But in the very beginning of the series, she discovered, much to her great emotional trauma and disappointment, that her brother had apparently turned traitor against their country and is now, you know, has joined the other enemy side and is now fighting on the other side. And it should be mentioned that both Ralph and Sarah are natural mecha pilot talents. They're really, really good at what they do. And
coordinators.
Well, there is actually, and the thing is that there is kind of a secret to why mecha works. Like the mechas are called strains. That's why it's called Soko no Strain. And there is kind of a secret to why the mechas are able to be piloted with something called mimics. And honestly, if you've seen lots of other types of sci-fi mecha shows like Evangelion or Gundam, you could probably figure out what it is. I don't want to spoil it here, but it's fairly obvious what it is by around episode 6 or 7, what exactly the secret is. And that kind of leads me to my main complaint about the show, which is that it doesn't really do anything all that surprising. It doesn't really play that much with the standard conventions, or you can even call them cliches, of the science fiction mecha genre. You've got probably the strongest aspect of the show is the character development. It's even in the post-Evangelion era, you know, sometimes creators are a little reluctant to put their characters through quite a lot of pain, but not the creators of Soko no Strain. The main character, Sarah Werrick, goes through quite a lot of emotional pain, and there are some places in the story where I did feel that there was some earned emotional catharsis, to use some jargon I learned from creative writing class. It's something where it feels like, you know, a lot that that at the end of her struggle, you know, you feel like she actually got somewhere, and that it wasn't cheap. It was something that actually came through a result of real, genuine struggle and hardship and heartache, and that, you know, she's a better person for it. And so I feel that aspect of the show was relatively strong. I did think, however, that aside from Sarah, a lot of the other characters weren't developed well enough. Like, I think part of it is because the series is a little too short. It's only 13 episodes. So there isn't too much time to develop other characters other than Sarah and other than the other main pilot partner that she has. Her name is Lati, I think. Because most of the female pilots in this show are female. There are a few male pilots, but most of them are female. And there is this one episode in the middle which some Yuri and Shoja eye overtones. And it's kind of the filler episode. Though, interestingly enough, I thought that episode redeemed itself. It starts off filler, but by the end of the episode, it very much ties into the main plot in a really crucial way. And so there is some fan service. There is some, you know, female nudity for people who are sensitive to that. Just want to warn you. And so in many ways, kind of to sum up, Soko no Strain is very much a standard kind of science fiction mecha show. It's got a lot of very fluid, well-animated action. The battle they didn't skimp on the battle scenes. I got it. That's another good thing I can report. Like, in terms of budget, they didn't skimp on the battle scenes. All the battle scenes are very fast-moving and fluid, and they didn't recycle cells over and over and over and over again. And if I felt that most of the main plot threads were wrapped up in a relatively satisfactory manner at the end, though there aren't too many surprises in terms of the plot. On a 10 rating, I think I'd give it a very good solid 7. It's a good show. It's above average, even. It's not outstanding. It's not always memorable, but it's well worth your time if you've got 13 episodes and you especially want something action-oriented and some really good science fiction to lighten your day.
Is one of the pilots called Latte?
Yes, that's the other main female pilot, Latte. Yeah, she's kind of
Latte?
A key Latte. Latte. That's how they pronounce her in the show. She's kind of like, she looks kind of cutesy and she's got the big eyes and everything like that, but she has some emotional traumas of her own to get through. She's actually the only other kind of semi-interesting character in the show.
Are they all moe looking?
A lot of the female characters are definitely kind of on the moe end, though. Like, one of the other main female characters is kind of this lesbian kind of girl who is trying to always come on to Sarah. And she's not. She's very similar to a. Both of you watched El Hazard before? El Hazard.
Yes.
Yeah. You remember what's her name? There was another like girl who kept coming on to this other, one of the other girls in El Hazard. She's very, very similar to that. Very, very similar. Yeah. It's a male heterosexual's idea of what a lesbian is like, I think. So.
You mean they don't actually write poetry and sing songs together?
Oh no, that's what they try to do. She especially like some of the ploys that she tries to get to be alone with Sarah and try to get Sarah to like her are definitely the kind of things that really reminded me of El Hazard. That's exactly what it reminded me of. El Hazard. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually we imagine them like trying to do each other every 5 seconds.
Wow.
What I said is actually what usually they will do.
Well, that's not a world I am terribly familiar with, so no further comment on that. But yes, it's just a good, solid show. It's like it's a good example of a very solid example of its genre. So if you like Gundam, if you like giant robots and if you don't mind not being terribly surprised, you know, then I recommend it. Any you guys have anything else you guys want to add? Or
I'm just glad that the as well as Naruto, although a little further back, Bleach has started to pick back up past some of the more filler type episodes, and the main story has picked back up again. So it's been pretty pretty interesting for those of you that haven't picked that up and would like to. Now is a good time to do it. If you guys were into it before and kind of stepped out because of the Balto arc, now is a good time to start picking that back up again too.
They've all grown older, right? All the characters. Like I think I've seen some screenshots, and they're all the characters look older now than.
Well, I mean, technically, it's not that much further. It's not like Naruto, where there's like a 3-year stretch. Mm. There was just a segment where it was stepped off from the main story, where it left off after the first couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. And started right. Another arc with these people called Balto, these other enemies that they were fighting for a while.
I see.
And okay. It was really just kind of a little standalone story that you could kind of do without. It wasn't bad. I think it was much better than the way that Naruto handled it. But
okay. Do you mean the manga or the anime?
No, I'm speaking. I was speaking about the anime.
Oh, okay. Right. I guess one of these days I really need to actually watch Naruto. I've only seen up to episode 18 or so. You see, that's one of the parts of anime fandom that I'm very behind on, because that's just not the kind of genre that I'm typically into. So I'm not really into the shonen action fighting stuff.
I was too poisoned by Dragon Ball Z, so I don't want to bother with it.
It's supposed to be much better than that.
It is much better. It's much deeper. It's much more. I mean, there's the more character oriented. There's the comic relief in it. The some kind of wacky stuff. There's some episodes you can kind of skip. You know, it is pretty drawn out, to be perfectly honest, in many ways. But it's also, there's a lot of good stuff in there. Mm-hmm. So if you can deal with all that, there's a lot of good stuff. But I think, Naruto was out before Bleach, so
yeah.
But I mean, overall, I think. The way Bleach has handled the story has been a lot better. Not necessarily drawing it out as much. Both have their strengths and weaknesses. I've heard criticism and compliments on both of them, and there seems to be even somewhat of a rivalry between some Naruto and Bleach fans about which show is actually better. So,
I think Bleach is definitely aimed at an older audience a little bit.
I think so too.
There's a lot more violence in Bleach than I saw than in Naruto. Naruto definitely, at least initially, seems to be aimed at a little bit at the younger crowd.
Yeah.
Though it is definitely more character oriented. Even the little small part that I've seen is definitely more engaging on the whole than Dragon Ball Z, certainly.
Oh, by a long shot. Yeah. But there are the longer drawn out scenes, unlike Dragon Ball Z entirely. But you know, they are different. I think they handle it better. I never was a really big fan of Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, there's so many anime fans in America who got into anime through Dragon Ball Z, so we don't want to knock it too much, I guess, but still.
No, absolutely.
But still, you know, when you move on to things that are a little bit better, I guess, it's hard to go back sometimes. I don't know. I hope I didn't piss off way too many Dragon Ball Z fans when I just said that. But
Either way.
Yeah, well, you know what?
What are you going to do?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't really care. You
know? Bring it on!
Bring it on. I like how you shift gears there, Mike. You go from, like, first gear to, like, I don't really want to piss anybody off, but, hey, bring it on! So, you know.
Yeah, all of a sudden you go from crawling to Shinkansen to, like, a speed bullet train.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. And on that note, I guess we can go ahead and close up today's episode.
Sure. Sounds great.
All right.
It's been fun.
This is your host, Michael Huang, signing out. Goodbye, everybody.
Jeremy Booth. Good night, everyone.
See ya.